You guys take a seat. Again, so good to have you guys this morning. We have a great honor this morning. Lee Bryant, standing right here, is going to speak to us this morning. Lee's a longtime friend of Harvest. We've been knowing Lee for a long time. He's part of Grace Ministries. That's Miles Sweeney's network of churches. So that's how we got to know Lee all these years ago. He has led their Brazosport campus, which is right on the coast, directly south of Houston. And he was leading that church from 2003 until recently 2017, where he successfully handed that off to the next generation of leaders in that church. He's still real active there, and his kids go there, and his grandkids go there. And in fact, about 4 years ago, I think we decided, Lee spoke it at our men's retreat at Cedar Canyon. So we've known Lee a long time, and we're just honored and blessed that he's here to bring God's word this morning. Let's pray over Lee. Father, we thank you, God, for Lee, the word that he has to bring today. And so, Holy Spirit, anoint him and empower him for this time. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Well, amen. Good morning. It is really great to be here. And let me just say, if you're here and visiting today, you are in the right place. I've known your executive pastor, Brad, for quite some time, and Gabe and several of these other guys. And this is a great church. And so if you're looking for a place to put down roots where you can grow in what Christ has for you, let me encourage you to strongly consider this as a new church home for you, because it is a wonderful, wonderful place. I want to talk to you this morning a message that I call Follow the Leader. Now, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he told the Corinthians, follow me as I follow Christ. And so whether we know it or not, all of us are following somebody. Ultimately, hopefully, we're following Christ, but we are following some kind of leadership here on this earth. And I don't know about you, but it seems to me like our world is getting crazier every day. I mean, some of the things I read on the news just absolutely shock me, because the Bible has a lot to say about how we should respond to the leaders in our church. And so we're going to look at a few things this morning that I just want to encourage you in when you think about your leaders in general, but specifically the leaders in this church. And we're calling it Follow the Leader. In Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. What does that say? All authority is of God. Everybody say all. All authority is above God, and they are established by God. Did you know that our president, Donald Trump, was established by God? That wasn't a very good amen. Did you know that Barack Obama was established by God in his time? It's true. Did you know that Brad Snellgrove is established by God? Did you know your life group leader was established by God? You see, any person in a position of authority, that authority comes from God, and good or bad, God wants to use it in our lives for his purposes. And so we have to come to the point of realizing that when we resist authority or we don't recognize authority the way we should, we are resisting God. Oh my gosh. And so today, especially since Pastor Brad's gone, it's a good time to talk about leadership, amen? So we're going to look at some of these things. What should our attitude be? How should we respond to him? What does it mean to follow the leader? Now, the Bible tells us that King David was a man after God's own heart, and if many things we find in David that are wonderful attributes, but one of the things we see is that he understood this principle that all authority was established by God. And if you're familiar with the Bible at all, you know how King Saul, made David's life absolutely miserable, tried to kill him on multiple occasions, chased him all through the wilderness where he had to leave his home and his family and run for his life. And through the circumstances of all this happening, on two different occasions, it came about that David was in a position where he could have easily killed King Saul. In fact, some of David's men said, one of them said, let me run him through with a spear. I won't have to do it twice. In other words, I can kill this guy right now and your problems will be over. Here's how David responded. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 6. The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. As evil as Saul was, and as difficult as he was making David's life, David recognized that he was in that place of authority with a purpose, and he refused to raise his hand against the Lord's anointed. Now, what are we saying? Our leaders are appointed by God. Doesn't mean they're perfect. That was a good place to say amen, too. Doesn't even mean that they're good, although I'm sure they are. What it means is God has put them there in that place for a purpose in our lives. And as bad as King Saul was, God used him to develop the character in David that he leaded to lead the whole nation of Israel. And so, how should we respond to our leaders? What is the biblical response? Well, number one, Mark chapter 7, verse 6, Jesus makes a statement. He says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You see, our leaders don't need lip service. What they need is for us to have them in our hearts. We need to develop a deep, sincere appreciation for who they are and what they do. You know, I recently, as Pastor Mark alluded to, I recently stepped down as the lead pastor of the church there in Brazosport. That happened in December of last year, and I became a good church member. One of the things that I learned from being a lead pastor is I learned how to have a deep, sincere appreciation for the leaders in our church. You know, I watch life group leaders. Did you know that life group leaders are just as busy as you are? Did you know they have kids that play sports or in the band or whatever other activities, that they have jobs, they have all the things on, they have yards to mow, they have all these other things going on in their life, and yet somehow they find time to get their home ready for you to come, to prepare meals, to visit people in the hospital, to counsel, to encourage, to pray, to help, to clean up after it's all said and done. And the only reward they have is knowing that someday they'll hear a good, well done, my good and faithful servant. I appreciate life group leaders. I appreciate youth leaders, children's leaders, all the positions in the church where people make these sacrifices in their schedule of their time and talents to serve God. Worship team members, the practice that goes into it. I have a deep appreciation for that. But you know, I also have a deep appreciation for the paid staff of our churches. Why is that? Well, number one, every one of them I know could be making a whole lot more money doing something else. So I'm going to tell you this morning, if you're looking for a career to make a lot of money, pastoring is not it. Okay? Many of them left secular jobs and took tremendous pay cuts to be able to come in and minister to you and obey a calling that God had on their life. And I appreciate that. I appreciate sacrifice that people make. And we need to be the kind of people that have our leaders in our heart. But another thing about that, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul's kind of recounting some of his ministry in verses 24 through 28, and he says, From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. That means they threw rocks at him, okay? I know that terminology's changed. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among the false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Now, when I used to read that, I would read those first four verses, and I would think, man, the tremendous amount of suffering that the Apostle Paul went through to answer the calling on his life and how he nearly lost his life. But here recently, that last verse began to jump out at me where he says, besides the other things. It's almost like in a category by itself. I mean, over here was all the physical suffering I went through, but there's a whole another category that you need to think about, you need to understand. He says, it comes on me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. In other words, on top of all this suffering, let's put this deep concern on top of all that. And if you look that up in the Greek, that phrase that says, what comes on me daily, literally from the Greek, this is from Vines, Greek dictionary, it means a troublesome throng or mob of persons seeking counsel or comfort. Paul's concern for the churches, he says daily, it felt like when he got out of bed in the morning, there was a mob, a throng of people, needy people, concerned people, helpless people, wanting some help, gathered around him. And that word concern literally means to be pulled in many directions. Now I could ask church leaders, how many of you know what it means to feel like you're pulled in many directions? Every one of them could raise their hand. You see, I have leaders in my heart because I know the deep concern that they don't just have a job, they have a ministry and they care about the people that they minister to, and it is a deep concern and a source for many sleepless nights. I woke up on Monday, December 4th. We had our great transition celebration. I stepped down as lead pastor on December 3rd. I woke up on December 4th. I woke up in a house that had been flooded by Harvey. We had one functional bathroom. We had sheetrock missing off all the walls. We had our kitchen completely destroyed. We washed dishes in a bathroom sink. We were kind of camping in instead of camping out. We had no flooring. You know, the insulation was gone out of most of the walls. It was a total wreck. And I woke up that Monday morning and looked at that house with a million things to do, knowing I was going to change my pastor's hat for a contractor's hat. But can I tell you, I felt like a million pounds had been lifted off of me. Why? Because I had passed the responsibility of that church on to the next generation. Wasn't that I didn't care about them anymore, but I wasn't responsible anymore. Can I tell you this morning, listen, if you want to follow the leader, it's not about lip service. It's about having them in your heart. And can I just say that no one can do this by themselves or on their own power, own strength. And that brings us to number two. We need to pray for them. You should pray for whoever's leading you. You should be praying for your executive pastor, your associate pastor. You should pray for your life group leaders. You should pray for your youth leaders. All of us should be praying for those that lead us. In Scripture, five different times under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul says, pray for us. We need to be praying for our leaders. And I understand that now. And so every day, well, I miss a day every now and then, but I pray for my new pastor who took my place almost every day. I pray that God would fill him with his spirit, with wisdom, his anointing, that God would bless him, bless his family, bless his children, bless his finances, be a shield about him and protect him. Listen, if we have our leaders in our heart, we need to have them in our prayers. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will be our guide. Listen, if I'm going to follow him, I want him to know where he's going. And listen, I don't have to know where I'm going as long as I'm following the leader. So I'm praying the Holy Spirit will fill him and give him wisdom and guidance that he might lead us where we need to go. There's nothing more frustrating than following somebody who doesn't know where they're going. I ride a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. We've talked about with some people this morning, and one time we were going on a trip, and it was a place that none of them had been, so I was leader of the pack, and we're going to this place up in East Texas, and I had, this is for GPS time, and I had the route memorized, but I made a wrong turn. And the thing about this wrong turn, it was right at midday, so the sun was almost straight up, and we were headed northwest. Well, this road went northwest and made a big turn, slow turn, and headed southeast. So we were headed southeast, and I thought we were headed northwest. And we came into a city that I thought we came into going this way, that we came into going that way. And I had no map, I mean, I was lost. Now, to make a long story short, we finally stopped and bought a map and figured it out. But here's the issue. We were on our way to lunch, and we were about 2 hours late. I had an angry throng of people gathered about me. Listen, we want our leaders to know where they're going, and the Holy Spirit knows the way. And if we will pray for them and trust God, the Holy Spirit will lead them. So we have them in our heart, and we have them in our prayers. Number three, we need to encourage them. Listen, we see the Apostle Paul, throughout all his ministry, it talks about how they encouraged and strengthened the churches, encouraged and strengthened the churches over and over again. But in Acts 28, we find him on the other end of that equation. After being arrested, falsely accused, imprisoned, multiple plots to kill him, a storm, being shipwrecked, just all the things. He winds up in Rome, and it said that he was definitely discouraged. And the Lord sent some believers that traveled a long way to come see him, and the Bible tells us that Paul thanked God and was encouraged. Listen, your leaders need your encouragement. I'm going to say that again. Your leaders need your encouragement. Yes, one of their jobs is to encourage you, but you need to return the favor. Listen, you have no idea what their week's been like. No idea what they're going through. And they will stand and lead you and never let it show, but sometimes they are in all kinds of issues going on. Listen, their refrigerators quit working just like yours do. Right in the middle of July. Or their air conditioner, even worse. Or they're counseling with someone whose marriage is falling apart and they've got this deep burden. And we need to encourage them. And can I tell you, encouragement is the easiest ministry in the church. I'm going to say that again. If you want to pick a ministry that's easy, be an encourager. Let me tell you how to do it. It takes four words. Great word today, Pastor. Thank you for leading life group. Awesome worship today, Greg. Something as simple as that can make a difference. Listen, 35 years ago, young guy just starting out to preach, I preached what, if I remember this right, was my first full sermon. You know, back in those days when you were young preachers, they would have three of you preach on one Sunday and you had 10 minutes apiece. You're learning. And if I remember this right, it was my first full sermon. It was a Sunday night. It was in a little small Baptist church. And I can remember still, I preached out of Psalm 51 where David was repenting concerning Bathsheba. And of course, as a young preacher boy, you know, everybody, the leaders of the church were all gathering around and telling me how good I did and all this kind of stuff. But I tell you, 35 years ago, and I can remember it like it's yesterday, a lady came up to me and she said, "I felt the Holy Spirit when you preached." In a Baptist church. Hey, I love those Baptists, amen? But can I tell you, that word changed the trajectory of my life. Because of a unconfident, insecure young preacher. To know that God could use me to touch people's life with his Holy Spirit had a tremendous impact on me. Come on, you can encourage your leaders. Send them an email, send them a text, whatever kind of social media. Brag on your church on Facebook. Encourage your leaders. Then finally, last one, we need to honor them. We need to honor our leaders. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine." Now, honor is kind of a value word, and I was thinking about that in the story of Esther. In the book of Esther, there's a great story, and I don't have time to go into all of it. But hidden in that is a wonderful message about honor. Because we have the villain of this story, whose name is Haman. And he is a prideful guy and just full of himself. And the king calls him in and said, "What should be done for the man the king wants to honor?" And Haman, being the kind of guy he was, said, "Well, surely he's talking about me. I mean, who's more worthy of honor than I am? So I need to figure out what I would like to see happen." And so he comes up with this plan of what would make him feel honored. Well, as it turns out, the king wasn't thinking about him at all, and he kind of gets his bubble burst. But the bottom line is, if I ask you today, what would make you feel honored? I mean, some would be like Haman, say, "Well, I'd like public recognition for what I do, just somebody to say thank you." Somebody else might say, "Oh, I'd like a nice plaque to hang on my wall." A lot of us just say, "Hey, just send me the money." But think about that. What? It depends on your love language. What would make you feel honored? Now, when you think about something, the scripture just said, if you'll take that and double it, that's what your leaders deserve. Especially those who preach the word of God to you. See, if we're gonna follow the leader, we've got to have them in our heart. And because we have them in our heart, we've got to have them in our prayers. And because of what we understand they go through, we've got to become the kind of people that encourage them as often as we can. And then we've got to be the kind of people who find ways to honor them. And can I tell you something? When we become the kind of followers that the Bible calls us to be, it makes our leaders better leaders. It makes them stronger leaders. And God gets the glory for what he does through us all. Now, here's what I want to do this morning. We've got some ministry team that are going to come here in just a minute and be willing to pray for you. And we're going to have an altar call, a time that you can come and respond. And there's several ways that you can do that. And number one, you may just say in your heart, "You know, I need to be a better follower." And can I say, I know the people here at Harvest Enough, you're like Grace, we don't do guilt. But we do respond to the conviction of the Lord. Guilt says you're a bad person. Conviction says, "I love you and I want to touch this area of your life as a blessing to you and those around you." And if you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit this morning, whether it has anything to do with this message or some other need in your life, if you need prayer for healing or any kind of ministry, maybe you're interested in baptism, but you don't know what it means to be a Christian. Now is your time to come and respond, and God will touch your life this morning. I'm going to pray. The ministry teams are going to come. If you want to respond, you respond. Father, thank you for our leaders. God, thank you for putting a calling on their life that they're willing to rise up and make the sacrifices that it takes to lead us. And God, we pray for us as a church body that we would be the kind of people who biblically follow our leaders, that we have them in our heart, that we pray for them, that we encourage them, and that we honor them so that Harvest Christian Fellowship might become a powerhouse right here in Plainview and the surrounding region, and many, many, many lives would be touched and transformed by the ministry of this church. And God, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy, and for your forgiveness. And Lord, we gladly receive it now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to come, you come.